And a good day to you, EOB Mafia. Welcome back to another value-packed installment of Evolution of Brand. I'm Jason Sircone, and today on episode 156, it's part two of my conversation on commercializing your personal brand with personal branding and online business specialist Mary Henderson. If you haven't checked out part one, jump back to episode 155 and give it a listen. As we dive into part two of our conversation today, we'll be discussing more of the important aspects to focus on when it comes to commercializing your personal brand, why understanding that we do business with other humans is vital to your growth, the role that respect plays in the growth of your personal brand, and why a strong personal brand is more valuable than being famous. These topics and much more are teed up and waiting for you on episode 156 of Evolution of Brand, right after a quick word from yours truly. You've got a story the world needs to hear, EOB Mafia. No matter where you're at on your professional journey, there's someone behind you who will benefit from the wisdom and experience you've accumulated. Tapping into your authentic story and telling it proudly is the key to your success. And once your story is defined, you'll need a stage to tell it. And that stage is podcasts. Your authentic story combined with a sound, strategic podcast guesting strategy will help you attract new clients, grow your network, and make your brand undeniable. And I want to show you a three-step process to make it all happen. You have a story the world needs to hear. Are you ready to tell it? Visit podcastguestingsimplified.com to learn more.
Be the scalpel, not the Swiss Army knife, right?
Yes, correct.
To quote the great D.P. Knewton, that's there's so much to unpack there, Mary. The one thing that I do want to talk a little bit more about, because I know that in the interactions that we've had and through our conversation today, there is one word that really shines through. It's respect. Mm-hmm. I feel there's never been a point in our interactions where I ever felt like you were talking to me and not showing respect. Mm-hmm. And I feel that it's incredibly important to making that connection, because you get so many people. And I mean, I've seen this in the podcast space too. Some people will come to a podcast thinking they're so far above that show and it's beneath them, and they don't want to take a minute to be a human being. They just want to keep themselves on this very high pedestal and not show this authentic self, or their authentic self. It's more of an act. It's more of a sales pitchy, cringy type of thing that can turn somebody off so fast. Mm-hmm. And something I've been talking about a lot in the podcast space lately is the mutual respect that hosts and guests need to have in order to create captivating content that people are going to actually want to get invested in. Talking about respect briefly, let's dive into that in regards to how you've been able to use that in developing your voice, and then how you project that voice through your message to the people you're looking to bring into your world.
I really hate people patronizing other people. I find that so dirty and just so cringy and so 1970. Like, I just couldn't think of anything worse. I mean, we're humans. Like, we're here to support each other. You know, we're here to elevate each other. If somebody comes to me because they need my help, I don't speak to them like they're a child. You know, I speak to them with utmost respect because they've done the best that they can. They've hit a brick road. And also, Jason, even if they say, Mary, I love what you do, I just can't afford to work with you. Again, respect. It's like, you come to me when you're ready. Okay, I'm not going to push you and use scarcity tactics and all those old sales tactics. I'm not interested in that. You're an adult. You know whether you can afford it, you know whether you can't afford it, you know whether I'm right for you right now. The door's always open. I'm ready when you're ready. This is the language that I use with people. And what I like to do, Jason, I want to put people at ease right up front. So when people get on a call with me, I don't like to go, you know, right, I've got 30 minutes and so let's just get through the questions and are you in or you're not? It's not my style. I'm more about, look, let's just go through a gap analysis. Let's just understand where your gaps are first, so we've got a clear vision. And then I can talk to you about the areas that you really need to focus on. And at the end of it, You know, hey, do you want to know more about how we can work together? Yes, I'd love to. Okay, here's what I do. Here's my methodology. I even take them inside the program. I'm like, here's all the assets I give you. You know, I try and bring it to life for them, but I never push people because I know what that feels like on my end. I've been there, done that. For me, I hate it. But the other thing is, and I learned this in my sales life, is that we also have to understand how the brain works. Forget about pushing, and respecting is a critical part of a person saying yes to you when you understand how the brain works. So the brain has a fight or flight mechanism. If I'm talking at you and I'm starting my pitch in the first 5 seconds, my brain is immediately in fight or flight. It's in defense mode. It's like, oh my gosh, she's going to sell, she's going to sell, she's going to sell, she's going to sell. And everything just shuts down. So I've got no hope in selling to that person unless I'm selling scarcity. And then I attract the client because that client is now in massive fear and I've attracted the client from hell. No thanks. I'm not interested in that. So when we understand the brain and how it works, then we can understand why respect is so powerful. You know, when you can put somebody up on a pedestal, it's like if I'm at a dinner party, Jason, I will talk about you and you only. You'll never ever hear me say, now, let me just talk about, you know, myself. I learned this. This is a very important trait that we must all learn. Always put the other person in the limelight. Everyone wants to be a rock star. And if we can actually do that authentically, you've got a customer or an advocate for life, for life. People never forget how you make them feel. Never, never. We must not underestimate the currency in that. And as you say, too many people think that they're so good. But let me just say to you, also, those people who think that they're so good also are shutting down their businesses as well. So what does that tell you? So I feel that respect is just so underrated and so underutilized and so misunderstood because we live in a youth-obsessed culture that everything's about a quick fix and no one, and everyone's blurry, no one is seen, no one is heard. But when you can take it some time out and, like I do, handwrite a letter with a pen on paper and post it to somebody, that's a game changer in 2023, believe it or not. You know, so these are things that we've got, we have to touch. Humans are emotional. We've got to touch that aspect of ourselves. Go back to what it means being human. Be kind, be nice, help one another, support one another, elevate one another. We've lost all of that because there's too much competition and people are scared of losing out. What are you scared of losing out? I don't understand that. The concept to me is so foreign rather than saying, let's elevate each other. Let's promote each other. You know, I have a magazine. I can't wait to promote your podcast in my magazine. I can't wait. Of course, I want to elevate you. Of course, I want to give you know, access to my network. I've got a massive network on LinkedIn. Of course, I want to promote you. Why wouldn't I? So
Right.
all of these elements, we forgot about the importance of what it means to be human.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's sad that there are so many people that have ruined it for the rest of us that are trying to do it from that more authentic way with respect and actually operate on a humanistic level, because the people that are operating from the scarcity approach, where they're trying to make somebody buy out of fear, it develops this mechanism inside somebody, like you said, it's fight or flight, but they are instantly conditioned to think that everybody is going to operate that way. That's why I chose, and you want to talk about a difference maker. Over the past few months, I've fallen in love with being on the phone again. Instead of doing things through email and through text, and we have all of this technology at our disposal. And yeah, of course, it can make our lives easier and it can help in a number of different ways. But if you remove the human element of conversation from what you're doing altogether, you can lose so much. And what I've discovered, in whether it was on the phone or doing it through Zoom, having a conversation and letting things play out is the ultimate way to have a breakthrough. And I work with clients and having these breakthrough strategy sessions, and there is some slight format to it, but for me, it's that act of talking things out and having a conversation and making discoveries along the way, because I know they have some ideas that they want to implement, but getting them flushed out and putting some logic to it, it allows those ideas to unfold and come to life. You can't do that through text. You can't do that through DM. You have to have these conversations. And when you do that, you bring everything to a much more human level. And that's going to help us all grow. And I'll end this shifting gears slightly. There's enough out there for all of us. You don't need to hold everything in for yourself. We can all succeed if we collaborate and work together and ultimately try to prop each other up.
Absolutely. There's 8 billion people in the world. I don't need 8 billion clients. Literally, even for me getting 10 clients a year, I have an extremely successful business. So it's not about, you know, the volume. It's just about your integrity. And also, as I was saying before, Jason, if you're not a subject matter expert in your area of specialization, you are going to have a scarcity mindset because you're always picking from other people. You're not comfortable in your own skin. You're not standing back saying, there's 45 million personal branding specialists, but I'm unique. I do. That's how I see it. No one can do it the way that I do it. Mm-hmm. Everyone does it their own way, but I've got my way and I'm sticking to my way. I love my way. It works. I get results and that's it. So I don't have any competition. There's no competition. I am who I am. I do it in the way that I do it. I have a system in place. I have methodologies. I have software. I've got all the things to support me. I'm comfortable in my own skin. And that's the key here. If you're not comfortable in your own skin, there's a problem. You're always going to be searching for something outside of you that doesn't belong to you.
And when you realize that in your practices, you start to attract the right people because they're going to resonate with your message. And
yes,
trying to attract multiple people is a recipe for disaster. You had mentioned it before. You open up those possibilities and those scenarios for a nightmare client to come into your world because your values and your philosophies don't align. And they may be looking for something completely different than what your area of expertise truly is. But if they were attracted to you by some facade that you put out there because you weren't being yourself, it can completely make your efforts unravel. And ultimately, you won't feel those breakthroughs. And when you have to sacrifice being yourself, not only does that hurt, but it's much harder because you're constantly acting and trying to play a role versus just letting your authentic self shine through.
I would say that I'm the most politically incorrect person that you could ever meet. And so people always, you know, used to say to me, oh, you know, just don't say that, you know, in front of those people, or don't, you know, and I thought about that once, and I thought, I'm a critical thinker, so I can't think like you and make you feel comfortable. If I make you feel uncomfortable because I expose the elephant in the room, well, we just can't hang out together, basically, because I need to be myself. Right. I must be myself. If I cannot be myself and speak the truth, then I'm against my values to begin with. That's the starting point. I can't go against my values. I don't need to be politically correct to make everyone else feel comfortable. I'm respectful, you know, and there are just things when I speak and I'm articulating myself, if that makes somebody feel uncomfortable, well, Jason, we're all adults. How can I be responsible for an adult? I just can't.
I know Gary Vaynerchuk has said many times that he has lost keynote speeches, big presentations where he could have made anywhere upwards of $25,000 because they said, you can't swear. That's his thing. That's what he does. That's him being himself. And he turned it down because he said, all right, well, if I can't be myself, you're not going to get the best version of me. So I'm going to sacrifice that. And I did have to agree with me. I mean, I know there's probably been some scenarios where he did have to tone things down, but that's when you're known for that, you're expressing yourself fully and you start to take that away from yourself. I think the message suffers and ultimately the brand suffers as well.
I think that people should be more concerned, not about his swearing, but about the fact that he pushes the hustle culture, which is so toxic and scary. Yeah. Really, that's really what we should be worried about. Not his swearing. The swearing is care factor zero. But the fact that he pushes this notion around the hustle culture, which is nothing but toxicity and self-proclaimed influences and worshipping the ego, we really need to be focusing on that. To me, that's a much bigger problem.
Yeah, I agree. I think even to some degree where he has toned down that side of it and brought some messaging to put clarity to it. So he does let people know that he does still sleep 7 or 8 hours a night and takes care of them. Like, I think that what you just said has been something that many people have expressed because it did cause a slight change, but you're right. We're adults. Swearing is going to happen. Who the hell
it's gonna
cares?
Happen. Exactly. Care factor zero. Well, your mafia listeners, that they
oh, they're fine. Yeah, they've heard. if you're at this point in the podcast and haven't heard a swear word, you haven't listened to enough episodes yet. Mary, I wanted to spend a couple minutes talking about this because it really stood out to me. Tell me about your 10,000 hour rule that you have, and why do you have that in place for everyone that you work with?
Oh, you know, Jason, I used to get so many people booking calls with me, you know, and these were people that genuinely wanted to become famous just for being famous. And it was just so off-putting for me because, you know, I'm a critical thinker. So, you know, when I'm looking at people that worship their ego, there's nothing more than turns me off because it's not necessary. You know, that's just a complete false reality. So I started getting a lot of people booking these calls with me. But what was interesting is the people that were booking calls with me actually had a serial following on social media platforms. Like I'm talking 400,000 or 500,000 followers on LinkedIn, even some on Instagram, but predominantly LinkedIn. And so they would book calls with me, and you and I, or the outside world, would look at those sort of people and go, wow, 400,000 followers, that's massive. You know, like, how did these people, you know, get to that point? They must be really successful. They must be killing it, blah, blah, blah. And what I recognized is that all of them, Jason, not one or two, all of them were literally living on the poverty line, on the poverty line. The question I ask people is, what is your area of specialization? What is it that you can do for sure? When somebody says, oh, I've worked in retail, and then I've worked, you know, at McDonald's, and then I've done this, and I've been a little bit here, and then I worked in this dress shop, and then I did sales for 2 years. I didn't like it. And then I did this. That to me speaks red flag. That's not inventory to me. I can't work with people that have got a little bit of everything wanting to be, you know, famous for what? I don't know how to make you famous, first of all, but I actually don't know how to convert what you've done into a brand. I need juice. I need real inventory. And then I recognized that I got to get out of here. I've got to change my whole messaging, and I just want to work with industry experts. So what is an industry expert? But somebody that self-realizes that they are self, that recognizes that they're an industry expert, typically these people will have 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years experience in their background, whether it be finance or sales and marketing or a combination of, but they're specialists. There are things that they can do literally with their eyes closed. And most of those people have accumulated 10,000 hours in their area of specialization. So I work with a lot of different type of people, but let's look at a couple of my clients who are PhDs. Like they've been, and I work with a lot of people in academia who want to break out of that. They've got so much knowledge and wisdom and white papers and research. I mean, it's ridiculous. Certifications coming out of their ears. But they're the world's best kept secret. But you see, for me, that's like a kid in a candy store. I just get so excited because now I've got somebody who's so specialized, but it doesn't mean that we're going to convert them into academia again. We're looking at all of that inventory and we're asking ourselves, who needs this problem solved? Who needs it in the world? What type of business or a person needs this problem solved? And so the 10,000 hour rule is actually a real rule, by the way. If they, I forgot the author's name, it's on the tip of my tongue, who wrote a book on the 10,000 hour rule, which is exactly where I got it from, because It's true. Anyone that has 10,000 hours accumulated in their area of specialization, it helps me help them. Rather than saying, I want to be famous, but not actually saying it, but really that's what I want, I had to draw a line in the sand. And those people that want to be famous, I say to them, just go to Hollywood and find yourself an agent. That's what you're really looking for. I don't work in that space. I work with really smart human beings, and I want to help them convert their genius into a brand and a business. That's all I'm interested in. But it's a very important rule.
I'm no expert on fame whatsoever or how to get famous. It's never been something that I've cared about. I have to believe that real fame comes from a full body of work done consistently. And I may just be speaking out of my ass, but I feel like that is the best way to look at it because you look at people that are famous and well respected, they do have a very lengthy resume and their work speaks for itself. Somebody that gets famous for a minute because of a viral video. How long does it take before we forget about that person and they have no track record that keeps them in the in front of us for more than a few fleeting moments? An actor like a Tom Hanks or something like that, who's developed a long career and consistently put good work into the world, that man is famous. So to me, like I said, I feel like it takes much more time than people are willing to invest to reach fame, and if that's the driving force, you're probably going to want to recalibrate and start over.
Jason, I think a lot of people just, watch a lot of TV. They look at reality TV, and really, that's the goal for a lot of people. Even if they don't admit it, that is the goal. I can tell you that the influencers that book calls that used to book calls with me, that they all looked like Kardashian. That's what they wanted. They wanted to be like that. And I just couldn't find anything more. It's just nonsense to me. I can't get my head around it. I don't think like that. It's actually sad, to be perfectly frank. As you say, being famous because I have a talent for acting or music or poetry or film directing or producing, that's amazing. Like that's the inventory I'm talking about. There's thousands and thousands of hours that go behind the scenes. This is all accumulated knowledge that has been experience that now becomes wisdom. Where's that in a fly-by-night influencer? Where's that aspect? How do I make you believable and trustable? And as I say, there is a distinction here. If a CEO of a Fortune 500 company is in a crisis, that person is going to be calling in the experts and the specialists, not the Instagram influencer with 500,000 followers. I can assure you that.
What a powerful way to wrap things up, Mary. Good mic drop to bring things to a close. This has been, as expected, a very phenomenal, enriching conversation. I want to thank you for taking the time to join me here on Evolution of Brand and share all of your wisdom and expertise. I'm going to speak on behalf of the EOB Mafia and say that we want more. So tell us how to keep this good thing going by connecting with you and maybe even setting up a strategy session with you.
Yeah, why not? Please do. If anyone wants to have a free strategy session with me, we can do a gap analysis, which is actually quite intense. So it'd be well worth it. Just go to maryhendersoncoaching.com/apply, APPLY, or just go to my website, Mary Henderson Coaching. Please reach out to me on LinkedIn and Facebook, which is Mary Henderson Coaching with a pink circle around my face, or send me an email, mary@maryhendersoncoaching.com.
Well, as always, I will make life easy. Those links will be found in the show notes so you can easily connect with Mary and get more access to her world. Before I let you go, Mary, if you could go back in time and share one thing with your pre-evolved self that would completely change the game for you today, what would it be?
I would probably pursue my passion to sing. I have a professionally trained voice from the age of 5 to 20. I never pursued that as a career. But I think that, if I had different circumstances, I think that that's what I would have done.
How about the first verse of Killing Them Softly? Go for it. Killing Me Softly. Just kidding. You don't have to flex the pipes
Do
there,
love
buddy.
that song, though.
Well, and I actually named the I it was
Don't
I
twist
used
my
it.
arm,
Well,
please.
that was what I said was the Dave Chappelle special. Killing Me Softly is the name of the song. So because I screwed up, I won't put you on the spot. Mary, thank you so much for joining me on Evolution of Brand today.
Thank you, Jason, for having me.
EOB Mafia, I want to thank you for taking this ride with Mary and I on this two-part series here on Evolution of Brand. To get more from today's episode, visit evolutionofbrand.com, click on the archives link, then go to episode 156. Or head straight to jasonsircone.com/Mary Henderson for instant access to links, resources, and show notes. To show your support for Evolution of Brand, rate, review, follow, and subscribe. It is all appreciated. But above all else, if you got something from today's conversation, please recommend it to one person in your circle who you know will feel the impact as well. You've been listening to Evolution of Brand. Until we have the opportunity to meet again, this is Jason Sircone reminding you to never stop evolving.